And now let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
All right, jumping right back into it, ladies and gentlemen, we want to go to the phones. Craig in New York, what's on your mind tonight?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, James. I just want to wish you and Bill and everybody else successful to start off with a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year first.
That's the way to start off a call, wouldn't you say, Bill?
Absolutely. Merry Christmas to you, too.
Oh, thank you very much. I just want to interject a little my side of the story in this, in that, excuse me, you guys were just talking about Walt Disney and film and Jews in Hollywood. Well, I just graduated as a film student from school, and it was interesting. Huh. On the very first day of a class I took called Center of Migration, which was a big pro-immigration class, the very first documentary you watched in class was called An Empire of Their Own, a documentary which basically gloats about how Jews founded and run Hollywood. So we're being told it's the very first day in class. But at the same time, this semester before, I took a class required called Race and Representation in Film and Literature. And that whole class was about how whites have always dominated Hollywood, and they're evil towards blacks. When Empire of Their Own, they say the Jews that run Hollywood is the greatest thing that ever happened towards blacks, trying to integrate jazz and everything in it. So they admit this stuff right out front. Yet at the same time, they try to give us other information, saying it's not true what they're telling us.
Craig and Bill, I think I just figured it out. I had an epiphany. If
yes.
You are supportive of the Jewish Hollywood agenda, and you care to make mention of the fact that Jews run Hollywood, then it's okay. But if you believe it's harmful to American interests, and you mention that Jews run Hollywood, then you're an anti-Semite. Is that basically what it is, Bill?
Yes, Hollywood was racist and dominated by whites when it was run by people like Edison and D.W. Griffith and a few others. But it's since become open-minded and creative and the universal method of communication around the world since it's become a Jewish-dominated industry. So, you know, it's just a change of, it's really just a change of attitude.
Well, thank God we have Craig, who is now a film school. Are you a graduate now, Craig?
Yes, I am.
Well, see, now we're going to take it back, Bill. Now, you know, it's done.
Well, I also want to point out something else, too. Another thing they harped on in another class was, before the 1960s, starting in 1929 and later, of course, at the beginning of 1933, there was this thing called the production code, because the American people, especially American pastors and Catholics and popes, they rose up, not popes, but bishops, they rose up in a protest against what Hollywood was doing decadently during the Silent Age. And so they formed this production code where Hollywood self-censored itself to keep from being censored by the states, individual state censoring codes. So the American people at that time also knew what they wanted from Hollywood, and they wanted it policed. It's a comment on how the American people are falling, that they no longer wanted police. They just take what Hollywood says they can take.
Well, that was called the Hayes Code.
Yes.
And it was headed by, I think, a congressman from Ohio or Indiana. I can't remember which state. And it was basically a front by Hollywood to prevent laws being passed against the quasi-pornography that was coming out of Hollywood in the 1920s. You're right. And in fact, if you go back and watch films from the 1920s, silent films from the 20s and the very, very early 30s, you see that some of the themes that appear later in the 60s and 70s are evident in those films.
Oh,
and
yes.
Those films were almost universally produced and directed by Jews.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, hate to cut this short, but we got to take another time out here. Craig, thanks so much for the call and the great points, and we'll pick up the pieces on the other side. Actually, we're going to be turning our gaze towards Christmas, which our Jewish friends in Hollywood will certainly hate to hear. So stay tuned for that. The Political Festival continues right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing.
Put anybody down. Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, I'm really excited. Excited about what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the show. Not that I wasn't excited about everything we've covered so far, but I'm particularly excited about what we're going to be covering during the rest of the show, because every year, and we've been on this, we've been on the air for 4 years now, and we're very proud of that fact. And every year, right after Thanksgiving, all the way through the beginning of the new year, we talk about the culture war as it applies to the war on Christmas. And for 4 years, we've always had my pastor on to read the biblical Christmas story. We're actually going to be doing the reading tonight. You know, since we moved to RBN and we are on Saturday nights late, Pastor has to get up early for church on Sunday, so it's a little bit past his bedtime tonight. But we're going to do the best we can. But, you know, examples are plenty when it comes to the war on Christmas, and it's very sad. And it seems as though each year they get more and more flagrant. And I got one now for you, Bill, that's really, I think, going to raise your ire. It certainly did mine. This story comes from Armonk, New York. Armonk, New York. New York, Craig, the caller who was just on, hailed from New York, so maybe he knows what I'm talking about here. An Associated Press story. I'm going to read this directly from the AP, okay? And there, listen to how matter-of-factly they report this trash. Here's the story. When they light the town Christmas tree in Armonk on Sunday, there will be a Jewish menorah right alongside, as usual. There will also be something new this year, an Islamic crescent and star. And if there are any Buddhists or Hindus in town who want to see their symbols, the town is welcoming applications. The holiday display, sponsored by the town of North Castle, which includes the village of Armonk, New York, is among a growing number around the country that include the symbol for Islam during their holiday displays. We've decided to go in the direction of being all-inclusive, says Reese Berman, a Jewish, they didn't put that in there, but he is Jewish, supervisor of the town of 11,000, which sits about 30 miles north of New York City. My question is, what in the hell do Jewish menorahs and Islamic crescents have to do with Christmas? Absolutely nothing. But that doesn't matter to Reese Berman, the town supervisor. He thinks Christians and Christmas should have nothing to do. He thinks Jesus Christ should have nothing to do with Christmas. And Christmas, in fact, has everything to do with being inclusive, etc. And so that is the way it is now in Armonk, New York. And let me just add this in there. I'm sure everyone knows, but the Christmas tree is, in fact, a pagan symbol. It has nothing, I mean, you know, I like a Christmas tree. We've got Christmas tree in my house that my wife and I decorate. But, I mean, you know, Bill, the point is you wouldn't see a cross in this holiday display that, you know, along with the stockings and the candy canes and the candles and the Christmas tree and the Islamic star and crescent and the Star of David and the menorah. Bill, make sense of it for me, please, if you can.
A nativity scene, which is...
Yeah, no nativity scene to go...
Which is a hate symbol. That's a hate scene.
Yeah.
Well, inclusion is just another word for anti-Christian and anti-white. This is the word for anti-Christian. It's one of those words with hidden meanings. And, of course, if the town had decided to take up the celebration of Ramadan, then you certainly would not see any Christian crosses as part of that inclusion. Or if the town decided to celebrate Yom Kippur, then you would not see crosses included in the celebration of Yom Kippur as part of an inclusive celebration. The same thing's going to happen to Easter, of course. Easter is really also a pagan celebration. The word Easter comes from the Babylonian word Ishtar, and most of the Easter eggs and bunnies and all that are part of Easter are actually part of a pagan celebration. But let's say that let's go to the season there and talk about Passover. Do you think Passover and the crucifixion and resurrection are going to be celebrated together? Of course not, because that's not inclusion, because that would be pro-Christian, and that would not be included. So, of course, it's selective diminishing of Christmas. And, of course, these different groups want to do away with Christ at Christmas, but they're not trying to do away with Santa Claus, are they? And that would be bad for the economy to do away with Santa Claus. So you just do away with the reason for the season, Jesus Christ.
You know, and that, you know, more and more places, and this is a little bit off, but I got to say it while I'm thinking about it, because I tell you, this kind of stuff gets me real hot. All right? This gets me real hot. Everything is okay at the town holiday festival, and of course that's what it's called now, that's what I'm talking about. It's not even called Christmas anymore. You will not find an advertisement on TV that mentions Christmas in its sales promotion. It's holiday. It's whatever. You know, and it's just going around town. You know, people very rarely say Merry Christmas anymore, and that's disturbing, I think, and it's just another part of the war against the West, the war against everything that we hold dear. And we're going to talk more about it, but before we do that, I understand we have a caller on the line with a low battery, and it is once again Dave in Massachusetts. And by the way, folks, if you want to chime in on the culture war against Christmas, give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. Dave, are you there?
Hey, yeah, Merry Christmas, James, and to Winston and Peter, and I don't know if I've got everybody's names memorized, but I wish a Merry Christmas to all the rebels who rebel against evil and tyranny and injustice. My phone's going to go dead, so I got, like, two quick, if I may, James.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a new web blog, and I have two essays posted on it that are Christmas-related. And you can read them at davefrommassachusetts.wordpress.com.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave from Massachusetts, all one word, .wordpress.com. And the second announcement, James, is I know a lot of people are troubled by Christmas, and a lot of the Christian identity people hate Christmas and try to get Christians to stop celebrating it. But an excellent book, a truly inspired book, can be purchased at ralphwoodrow.org. Ralph Woodrow's an elderly man. He's a retired evangelist. But he's a real evangelist, though. He's not one of the phonies. And he sells a book for only $5. It's called Christmas Reconsidered, and it's truly inspired. And all the people that have doubts about Christmas and think that we're not supposed to celebrate and everything, I'll tell you what, I guarantee to you, after reading Ralph Woodrow's book, Christmas Reconsidered, folks will go back to celebrating Christmas. So that's, ralphwoodrow.org. Christmas Reconsidered for $5. You can't do yourself a favor and pick up that book, anybody that's troubled about the Christmas question.
I can even afford that, Bill.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, let me say this about Christmas. You know, one of the things that many Christians, and I'm not questioning their faith or their beliefs on this, they're entitled to believe and to worship Christ in the holiest and most sacred of fashions. But let's keep in mind that on the very first Christmas, three wise men brought gifts to the baby Jesus. So the idea that gifts are being given on Christmas is somehow sacrilegious or not part of the Christmas spirit, I think is a little misguided because of course the three wise men from the East brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus on his birthday, and anything we do to celebrate and to honor Christ any time of the year is appropriate, as long as the reason is truly a matter of faith. So, we don't want to suppress the joy of Christmas and the joy of the birth of our Savior. So let's all keep that in mind among Christians, that we know that there are varied beliefs about how to celebrate Christmas or whether to celebrate Christmas. But let's remember that whatever we do to honor Jesus is always the right thing to do.
And it should be done all year round. And I'm as guilty as this as everyone. You know, we tend to put a priority on the faith of our people. And, you know, that's what, you know, Christianity has been something that has certainly connected the Western people of the world for, you know, millennia. And it's such an important part of our culture, and it should be respected and celebrated every day. And unfortunately, I fall into the category of those who, even on this radio program, don't talk about it as much as we should. We always talk about it around this time of year, and of course Easter, and it is something, as you mentioned, Bill, that should be celebrated and kept close to our heart all year round, that Christmas spirit. Flora from Idaho, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, thank you so much, RBN, for letting me speak. You know, our troops are just coming home, some of them, and they're not coming home in the same shape they were sent there. And there's biological warfare going on our troops. And, you know, there's paralyzed troops. If somebody had some money, even an office personnel, where they every year they get rid of computers and so on and monitors, why couldn't they give that in a special kind of program for our paralyzed veterans, where they could have a computer with speech guidance, and they're just as much alive as you and I, only they're not the same shape as they went. And also, I want to remind others.
Hey, Flora, sit tight. I don't want to cut you off. We got to go to a break, though. We'll be back right after this.
Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow. Woo!
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Hi there. The Political Cesspool listeners are well-informed and proactive. Have you heard much about the killer MRSA in your area? Here's some information I'll bet you didn't know much about. We've come across doctors who don't know. Visit 12diseases.com, where you'll find an ebook about how to protect your child from the 12 diseases your mother never told you about. Guard parent. Things like deadly MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, rampant in hospitals, schools, and clinics, or Chagas, known well south of the border, and many others we might have heard about, but think, we don't have to worry about that. This is not some encyclopedia or complex medical book. You'll learn quickly about 12 emerging or re-emerging diseases that have horrible consequences for the health and well-being of your children. It's written in a plain, easy-to-read format that anyone can understand. That's 12diseases.com.
What time is it? Louis, Louis time!
And now let's return to the political cesspool.
I want to thank Flora for her call and ask her to please call back in next week. We really need to stay on the topic of Christmas tonight, this being, of course, our last show before Christmas, and so if we put it off, we're not going to be able to pick it up next week for obvious reasons. But, Bill, as you know, the war against Christmas isn't just a war being waged here in America, but one being waged all across the Western world. Over in England, a woman was told to take down her Christmas lights because they might offend the neighbors. Now, keep in mind, like the Christmas tree, like candy canes and stockings, Christmas lights aren't necessarily a religious expression or a Christian expression, but anyway, here's the story. You know, it's apparently some sort of a publicly subsidized housing complex, and a government employee told Dorothy Glynn that she had to take down her Christmas lights and decorations because they might offend her Chinese and Bengali neighbors. Here's the scoop. Dorothy Glynn decorates her home in South Shields, Tyne and Wear, with hundreds of festive lights every year, including a giant tree and a four-foot Santa Claus. But this year, she was astonished when an employee of South Tyneside Homes called her at her house and informed her that the decorations she was displaying might be offending her neighbors. The association has now apologized to Mrs. Glynn and started an investigation, but a spokesman insisted that removing Christmas lights was not part of their policy. Mrs. Glenn, a 41-year-old mother of three, said, quote, I put up the lights the first week of November, and then recently a uniformed housing worker was outside and looked like he was counting my decoration. When I went outside, he said that the lights were offensive to the community. If I was offending anyone, I could understand why he was telling me. But nobody had complained to me. My neighbors are Bengali and Chinese, and I know that they love the lights. The children will always point at them when they walk past. So, anyway, Bill, they let her put the lights back up this time. But a nation like England that is rapidly filling up with people from China, Bengal, and every other non-white country on earth is not going to be hospitable to Christmas decorations for very much longer. Just ask us Americans. But, I mean, now the war isn't just on crush, it's on Christmas lights even, and Christmas trees now. They've gotten that far.
Well, they'll come in and take her egg beater next.
yeah, they just obviously fine. There's, you never know.
Obviously, there's a racial connotation to the egg beater, so, you know, that'll have to go.
Well, all kidding aside, we do have a lot of fun on this program. We talk about a lot of serious issues, a lot of sad issues. I mean, issues that you would think any right-thinking country would never have to discuss. I mean, it's so absurd that these so-called problems exist. I mean, where is controversy there? Well, of course, it's being manufactured by those who hate Christ, those who hate Christmas, those who hate the West, those who hate the European Americans and everything to do with our cultural heritage. But we're not going to let that stop us here in the political cesspool. When we come back in a couple of moments, we are, at long last, going to get to something that we mentioned at the very top of the show almost 3 hours ago. We're going to read from Luke. The Christmas story itself is pretty short. The biblical accounting of the Christmas story, that is, it can be found in the Gospel of Luke in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2. We're going to take a look at that. Sounds like we're going to church, doesn't it, Bill?
Well, you have to go to church every now and then, you know, to have fellowship with fellow Christians and to renew your spirit. And so, of course, there's no better time to read the Christmas story than at Christmas.
That's the truth, and we're going to do just that in a moment when the political cesspool continues. But before we do that, I want to remind you one last time that this is your last chance, gang. You want to get, you want to take advantage of the political cesspool's Christmas offer to receive the Occidental Quarterly for a year. Go read how you can do so at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's www.thepoliticalcesspool.org. And if you have not completed your Christmas shopping, that's right, I said Christmas shopping, not holiday shopping, go to patriotic-flags.com, patriotic-flags.com. You can buy flags, I mean, over 700 flags they've got for people. That's a good gift to give. It's a novelty item that you can't find too many places. And they also have got great T-shirts now that will help you celebrate your European heritage and culture year-round, including their best-selling Don't Tread on Me T-shirt that can be found and purchased for your loved ones at patriotic-flags.com. And one more thing in the way of announcements before we go to our next break. Breaks just come by quicker and quicker around here. Bill, we have so much fun. Time flies so much. It seems like we always got to go to commercial. But remember, after we conclude the reading of the Christmas story, we want to hear from you in this, our last half hour of the show tonight. We want to hear from you during the last half hour, ladies and gentlemen. We want to know what Christmas means to you and what your favorite Christmas memories are. So if you don't mind, we'd love to have you share that with us as we share it with you in our final segment coming up right after this commercial break here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Give us a call, 1-800-313-9443. We'll take those calls right after this.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, once again, folks, I want to give out that call-in number. Go ahead and call in now, 1-800-313-9443. Excuse me, 1-800-313-9443. We want to hear what Christmas means to you, your favorite Christmas memories. Give us a call. But before we take those calls, I want to share with you, as we mentioned, the Christmas story as it can be found in the Bible itself. And you know, Bill, of all the things we've done on this show that the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center don't like, I think this would be at the very top of it. We are about to read on air, on an AM broadcast, words from the Bible. And this story, one of the greatest of all time, the greatest story ever told, the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country shepherd, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, it's a great story. Never more appropriate a time to share it with those of us who appreciate this program and those of our listeners who tune into this program than this, the week of Christmas.
The greatest story ever told.
You just won't see that. You're not going to hear that story. I mean, where else do we do? You know, it's a shame. This is Christmas. You know, this is Christmas. That is the Christmas story. Everything, you know, there would be no Christmas without that story. And yet, it's the one thing you never hear mentioned this time of year. I mean, as I read it just then on this program, it's the first time I've heard it all year, all season. I mean, you know, is there something inherently wrong about that, Bill, to you?
Well, of course there's nothing wrong with it, because the reason you don't hear it is because everything is right with it. And if it was something wrong with it from the viewpoint of the Christian, then it would be all over the season. And it is. Everything that's wrong with the season is being portrayed and displayed in the department stores and on television and throughout the country, and in inclusive displays and in inclusive celebrations. These are the things that are wrong with Christmas. And what is right about Christmas, you will rarely hear or you will rarely experience unless you go to a Christmas service at church. And even there, sometimes the whole story isn't told.
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, this is another thing we talked about the last time we got together for dinner, which was, Wednesday or Thursday night. I mean, the churches now, and we this is something that we do bring up quite a lot on this program. You know, it seems as though a lot of the churches have fallen into this multicultural, politically correct trap. But that's not – we're not going to get into that right now, because that's not the purpose of this segment.
Ask the audience this. When is the last time that a Christmas carol or a Christmas hymn was written? I can't think of one in this century that offhand a Christmas carol or a Christmas hymn that was written about Christmas. The song
that was
written
that was
about Christmas,
distributed by one of the major record companies. Of course.
Now, the last 50 years, there have been very few. The Christmas songs written about Christmas have been about Santa Claus or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer or what I'm going to get for Christmas, my two front teeth or a hippopotamus or something like that. Or Alvin and the Chipmunks. This is what Christmas has become. And so the great Christmas carols and the great Christmas hymns are all from a much earlier age. And I think that's another question we ask ourselves, is who is going to write the next Christmas hymns and the next Christmas carols?
Or
the next Christmas prayer?
And Christmas music, real Christmas music, since you brought it up, Bill, is incredibly beautiful and incredibly moving. There are so many great Christmas songs out there, you know, and you only get to listen to them this time of year. I guess for whatever reason, we only think to listen to those songs during the time of Christmas, but just majestic music, you know, Hark the Herald Angels, Angels We Have Heard on High. I mean, all the stories that really do have a Christmas message, fantastic works.
And we need to hear more of it. And, you know, one of the things I guess we're guilty, too, of, we don't have any Christmas music on this show, unfortunately. And, of course, that's due largely to a technical problem. So even we are a little guilty of not bringing the Christmas spirit through music to the show. But as I say, that was not intentional, as we both know. But, you know, it's just one of those things that slipped by us. But nevertheless, you know, the reading of the Christmas story from Luke is important, and I urge our listeners to go to their Bibles over this season and read those verses that have to do with the birth of Christ and the travails of Mary and the wise men and all of the real Christmas stories and the ones that really matter.
Well, I've got to ask you one more question, Bill. We have a few callers, and I want to try to get to as many of them as we can. Some of them have been waiting very patiently to get on, and I really appreciate that. But I've got to ask you this first before we turn it over to the callers. What does Christmas mean to you?
What does Christmas mean to me? Well, obviously there's the secular meaning, and then there's the meanings of faith. And, of course, what Christmas means to me, first of all, is that the joy and the overjoy that we should all feel for the birth of our Savior and the great sacrifice he would make later in his life after his ministry. But the birth of Christ brought forth the possibility for salvation for mankind. And the only person on this earth who could live a perfect life, the first person since Adam, to truly be touched by and brought forth by God himself. So, you know, that's the first thing. And the second thing is that it should be a time when our families come together and recognize and celebrate this birth together so that we all have that meaningful experience that we can remember and share later on and pass on to future generations.
And that's it. As usual, Bill, there's no way I could say anything that would improve upon that, what you just stated. I think Christmas brings out or should bring out that which is best in us and that which we should celebrate year-round, the gift of Christ and the gift of family. You know, it's a shame that, you know, only in times such as Christmas that we really spend the kind of quality time with family that we should. And that's not to say that all families do that, but again, I guess, you know, my family is as guilty of it as anyone, and we have a very close-knit family, but that... You know, my favorite Christmas memories are exactly that. It wasn't the gifts. It wasn't all of the secular stuff. It was being around family. And I love my family. I'm close with my brother. And I know a lot of families aren't close. And I haven't had to go through, you know, we were talking with Stephen Baskerville earlier, Dr. Baskerville. You know, I haven't had to go through a divorce. And I'm thankful for that. I have great relationships with my parents. You know, my grandparents are all gone now, but, I was very close with all of them, and at Christmas, it was all accentuated, and that I think is what I'm most appreciative for this time of year. Those two things that you just said, Bill, and let's go to the phones, shall we? Jim in New York. Jim, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, how you doing there, gentlemen? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good.
I just wanted to pass something along to you.
Sure.
There is a composer who's still living. His name is John Rutter, and he's written hundreds of choral pieces, a lot of them for Christmas. And it's not fluff like, you know, Rudolph. I mean, it's all about Christ and what Christmas is really about.
How about that, Bill? Jim, thanks so much for bringing that to our attention. If we don't know something, one of our listeners, isn't that magic? That's the magic of radio.
Well, I'm going to go to iTunes. I'm going to go to iTunes and look up John Rutter and see if I can find some of his choral music, and I'm going to listen to it tonight and perhaps download some for when my family comes for the holidays. Thank you very much for that information, and it's very important. And it's very important to support those people who are writing real Christmas music.
I'll recommend one to you. He has a CD. I just played it tonight. A lot of requests for, of course, Christmas music tonight. I'm a classical music disc jockey, and I do requests on Saturday night, and there was a lot of Christmas music asked for this evening. It's called the John Rutter's, and it's the Christmas album, I believe it's called. It's on the Hyperion label from England. You'll find it. It's available.
And is that Rutter, R-U-T-T-E-R?
You got it.
Okay, great. Well, I encourage our listeners then to go to... some music website or to a place where you can listen to this music or buy it and look up John Rutter, and let's support a man who is writing real Christmas music. I think it's a great idea.
There you go.
Hey, Jim, thanks for the call.
No problem. Take care, guys.
Yeah, great night. Great night. Well, Bill, there you, I mean, how about that? That makes you proud you lived this long. You know, this is, you know, our people are getting together. What a great tool this radio program is. What a great tool radio is when used for the forces of good rather than evil, as there's so much media. But very hard to find someone who can educate Bill on anything. And I think we just had it happen right here on the Political Cesspool this December 20th. Bill Rowland learned something he didn't know already.
Another Christmas gift for me.
Let's go to Dan in Houston. Dan, Merry Christmas.
Yes, sir. I like to say Christmas is really can be a sad thing for the people that raise Jehovah's Witness or some Church of God groups, and because I was involved in those families. But if you look at the Bible says that no one, I've read in the verses, let no one judge in the keeping of days. No one says it makes you feel closer to God, do it. I mean, I think it's actually mentioned in there, like some people keep the Feast of Tabernacles and some don't. Well, either way, it doesn't matter as long as you feel like it makes you closer to God to take the choice you took. So, I mean, these Jehovah's Witnesses are some of the finest people on the planet. They don't believe in Christmas. That doesn't mean that they're bad people or not Christians, scripturally, in my opinion. And that's why, I mean, Christmas is so fantastic, it's not even believable. So I just wish that people that don't, that Christmas is not part of their life because the way they were raised, that it shouldn't bother them. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make another suggestion to our audience. If you don't put up Christmas trees or ornaments or celebrate or exchange gifts at Christmas, let me make a suggestion that on Christmas that you go and visit either a children's hospital and take candy or food or something. Or if you play a musical instrument, go there and offer to entertain the children or to a retirement home. Because these people are often lonely and, have no one left at Christmas. And you could really give them the great gift of the Christmas season and of, the joy of Christ if you do something like that. So that I will extend as a suggestion to our Christian friends who don't decorate or exchange gifts. You know, you can give something at Christmas that is in the Christian spirit and that would truly be appreciated by someone who will be lonely and perhaps a little blue this Christmas. So, you know, I'm going to offer that to those who don't decorate and don't have trees and don't do the other things. So and thanks for the call, by the way.
Yeah, very, very constructive. Dan, I know you've been waiting a long, long time. We only have about a minute or two before we go to our final break. Anything you'd like to add to that?
Oh, no, great show. Fantastic show. Wonderful.
Well, thanks so much, my friend. You have a great night there in Houston, and very Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you again soon, we hope. Bill, we're going to come back, obviously, after our next break and put the final cap on tonight's show, do a little wrap-up segment. But before we do that, final word on Christmas before we go to that break. And what was, in fact, your favorite Christmas memory? I know you've seen a lot of Christmases by now.
Well, let's see. My favorite Christmas memory, it's really hard to say.
That is a hard question.
I remember one Christmas when I was just out of college, and a friend of mine was here in Memphis and could not go home to his family. He had sort of a not a very pleasant family life. And so over the Christmas holidays, I invited him to come and have Christmas dinner at my grandmother's, and we had a great Christmas celebration. And I was really satisfied and glad to see how happy he was to have somebody to spend Christmas with. And this was before I had my own kids and my own household. So, you know, I remember that one distinctly because I really thought that Christmas, I said, boy, I'm really glad I did that, and that little thing of inviting someone to a Christmas dinner made a big difference to him and to his Christmas. And, you know, that little bit of happiness was something that he wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. And, of course, the Christmases, I would say the first Christmas that I had with both my children was just absolutely fantastic. My son was just a little baby, and my daughter was just old enough to tear open packages. And so that was a great Christmas as well.
It's a beautiful time of year, and I hope we've done it some shred of justice on the program tonight by offering up to this, you know, to our listening audience, this special segment that we just don't do often, but perhaps that we should do more. But it's always great to be able to talk about Christmas, and there it is once again, right around the corner. It always goes by far too fast, and doesn't come around nearly often enough. But we got to take our final break for the evening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back to wrap things up here on tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool right after these words.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
You never know when an emergency will strike. Whether it's a hurricane, tornado, blizzard, or earthquake, everyone listening to me right now could find themselves without food and power with little or no advance warning. With over 14 years' experience, Ready Made Resources stands ready to assist you to be prepared. The Katahdin Vario Microfilter is a lightning-fast water filtering system that removes waterborne bacteria and cysts, and it also improves the taste of water. Ready Made Resources carries Mountain House Foods, the number one lightweight, compact, great-tasting food choice that you should have stored away as part of your emergency preparedness kit. There's free shipping on both of these items. For more information, go online at www.readymaderesources.com or call toll-free 1-800-627-3809. Ready Made Resources is here to help you be prepared. And now, let's return to the Political Cesspool with your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to our final segment of the evening, final segment before Christmas. Bill, what are you going to be doing this Christmas?
Oh, I've got, my house is going to be full of people, relatives and in-laws all through the Christmas season, and I couldn't be happier.
You bring up a point there, and I don't mean to interrupt, but you know, all of the movies that come out now about Christmas, paint that as such a dreaded situation and something that you know, people just hate. You know, spending time with family at Christmas is just nothing to be worse. You know, this is the themes of a lot of the big, like the movie Four Christmases that just came out. And it's a familiar theme in a lot of the Christmas movies now.
Well, it's another
dreadful it is to spend time with family.
Another anti-Christmas movie. You know, we're supposed to laugh off all of our relatives as being deranged psychopaths and shun them all year and then hate them at Christmas. I mean, this is another anti-Christmas movie. How what a far cry from It's a Wonderful Life or some of the other Christmas films or A Christmas Carol, where, you know, family matters more than anything. And of course it should at Christmas more than ever. But this again goes back once again as a throwback to what we were talking about, Hollywood and the mentality of Hollywood. So there you go. You don't want Hollywood running your Christmas by any means.
We've been trying as hard as we could not to politicize the final segment here, which is like every segment, very heartfelt and sincere. But, yeah, same here. Unfortunately for me, a lot of my family has passed away, but those that are left will be getting together, and I couldn't be happier about that. My parents, aunts and uncles, my wife, brother, close friends. And, you know, food never tastes quite as good as it does at Christmas time and at Thanksgiving. So I'm looking forward to eating a lot. And, Bill, when we come back next week, this is our last show before Christmas. Next week will be our last show of the year, calendar year 2008 coming to a close. And what a year it's been for the Political Cesspool Radio program. We are going to be doing our year-end review show next week. It's something we've done each and every year for the past 4 years. Always a lot of fun. And, Bill, we'll be recounting all that which we have experienced this year, so already looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
I don't want to look forward to it too much because then I'd look past Christmas. But
The biggest year for the Political Cesspool in many ways. It was the biggest year. It was the year we built up a huge audience on our home station and then went off the air for a while and came back on RBN. So, yes, it's been the biggest year for the Political Cesspool in 4 years.
And we hope that our fifth year, 2009, will be even bigger than this. But first, we will reflect, and that comes next week. Well, Bill, we only have a half minute left. Merry Christmas to you, my friend. This show wouldn't be where it is today had it not been for you and the contributions of so many. I really love, respect, and appreciate you. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas. And that goes from all of us to all of you out there, the people who listen to this program. We couldn't be more in debt to you for helping us stay on the air. Merry Christmas to you. God bless you. We'll see you next week. And, Bill, good night.
Good night, James. God bless us, everyone.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to help keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
My name is Jeff Lawrence. I'm the